Welcome everyone to the Gospel broadcast. We're very glad to see everyone. I'd like to read firstly in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. In these Bibles, it's page 1252. Luke chapter 18, verse 9. Luke 18, verse 9. And he, that's Jesus, spoke also to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and made nothing of all the rest of men. This parable. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a tax gatherer. The Pharisee standing prayed thus to himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as the rest of men, rapacious, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax gatherer. I fast twice in the week, I tithe everything I gain. And the tax gatherer, standing afar off, would not lift up even his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, O God, have compassion on me, the sinner, or have mercy on me, the sinner. I say unto you, this man went down to his house justified, rather than that other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. I'll come to another scripture later. In this gospel broadcast, I'd like to speak about mercy. We sung in the hymn, Mercy, Mercy from on High. That's from God. We all need mercy. Mercy is something that which we don't deserve. That's what mercy means, really. We don't deserve. The guilty person doesn't deserve to be shown mercy. Mercy is something which is given. It's not getting what we deserve. If a criminal is taken in front of a court, they have to have the sentence handed out to them. But sometimes they're shown mercy. Sometimes people who have been in prison for a long time for a crime are shown mercy or a pardon and they're let out early. Sometimes people, presidents or leaders, sometimes show mercy to those that have been in prison for a long time. That happened fairly recently in America. How wonderful it must be to receive a pardon or mercy in those circumstances. But there is a mercy that God is offering you which is far, far greater than anything a president or anyone else can offer. And that is mercy from the judgment of God. The Lord Jesus, God is righteous and holy. And we see in this passage, this first passage that we read, a great contrast between two different people, two very, very different people. What an interesting passage this is. Every story that Jesus tells has very, very much meaning in it, but directly to us today. Every story that Jesus tells means something directly to us in this very day. How wonderful that is. The Lord Jesus' words were so powerful. Jesus spoke also to some. See what it says in verse 9. They trusted in themselves that they were righteous. How much that applies to so many people today. It really applies to everyone that's not trusting in Jesus. If you're not trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, if you're not trusting that He has died in your place in order to make you righteous, in order to wash you clean from your sins, then you're trusting in yourself. So many people trust in themselves, don't they? You ask people whether they're a good person. I've heard sometimes evangelists doing that. Do you think you're a good person? And very often you get, yes, I think I'm a good person. And then you hold up the light of the law, the Ten Commandments, against their life, just like ours as well. And it soon shows us up, doesn't it, that we're far from righteous. We're far from righteous because we've fallen from God's standard. God's standard is that we love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul and strength. God's standard is that we love our neighbour as ourselves, and that we, all of the other Ten Commandments, show hatred, not want what belongs to someone else, not tell any lies. How often we've been told, shown up in our history because of what we've done. So Jesus is making a really strong point here about those that trust in themselves that they were righteous. Jesus is addressing those sorts of people in this parable. Every story that parable that Jesus makes has a very powerful point to it. And he was referring to those at that time that were listening to him. But he's also referring to anyone else that's listening to the words of Scripture any other time, which applies to every one of us. So two men went up into the temple to pray. Two very, very different people. And there are two classes of people today. There are people that trust in themselves that they're righteous. And then there are people like this tax gatherer. Let's have a look at what this tax gatherer is like in a moment. But first of all, we'll look at the Pharisee. The Pharisee says, God, I thank you that I'm not as the rest of men. In other words, I thank you that I'm not as bad as them over there. I'm not as bad as these other people. That's naturally what we do, isn't it? We like to compare ourselves with people that we know are worse than us. We're not as bad as a murderer or a thief or a rapist or whatever. We're not as bad as them, so maybe we're not so bad after all. I'm not like them. I'm not like a rapacious that's greedy and after money, adulterers, or even like this tax gatherer. He even looks down on this tax gatherer. But the tax gatherer, he doesn't even dare to come near. And he just cries out one thing. He just says one thing to God, doesn't he? He wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven. He felt so much under the weight of sin. He felt so much that he needed to be forgiven. We were praying earlier that people would have an anxiety about the fact that they're sinners. Anxiety is normally a bad thing, and there's a lot of anxiety today about the virus and many other things that people have anxiety about. We should have anxiety if we're not forgiven of our sins. We should have anxiety if we're not haven't been washed in the blood of the Lamb, that we haven't been forgiven and not ready to stand before a holy God. But this man says, O God, have compassion on me, the sinner. Or have mercy on me, the sinner. Mercy is the word I wanted to highlight tonight. God is offering us mercy because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. Because of his perfect work at Calvary's cross. Because of that sacrifice that has been made, anyone can come in to receive to hear the gospel. Anyone, whatever their background, however wicked they are, whatever they've done in their life, they can receive mercy tonight. And God wants to give you mercy, dear friends. But how do we come into the blessing? How do we receive that mercy? We realise that we're a sinner. And I think this tax gatherer is such a wonderful example for us, isn't he? Oh God, have compassion or have mercy on me, the sinner. That's what becoming a Christian is. Calling out to God for mercy. Repenting before God, that's to turn around. To change our mind again about sin. To turn around. We're going in one direction, then we turn around to the other. Not just to say sorry, but to realise the awfulness of sin before a holy and perfect God. To realise that it needed Jesus to go to the cross so that we might be forgiven. Jesus is offering you that salvation tonight, dear friends. He's offering you mercy. He's offering you salvation, forgiveness from sin. He's offering you the forgiveness from sin which otherwise would cost you God's punishment for all eternity. What love it was that took him that way, dear friends. What it cost him to be able to offer you mercy tonight. Jesus says about this man, this man went down to his house justified, rather than that other. Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. In order for you to be offered mercy tonight, dear friends, it meant that the Lord Jesus Christ had to go the way of the cross. We were remembering earlier in the meeting this morning about the agony that he had to suffer. His head was full of bruises. He bore shame and scorn for you and for me. He allowed himself to be taken by wicked hands and crucified and slain, nailed to the cross. The cross is at the centre of Christianity. The cross enables you and me to be shown mercy by a holy and righteous and perfect God. What a wonderful first step it is in Christianity to put ourselves in the same place as this tax gatherer. The tax gatherers were regarded as dirty thieves, sinners in society. They helped themselves to other people's money and they could get away with it. That sounds familiar today, doesn't it? It's been the case throughout man's history. Greed and theft of all kinds. The tax gatherer was an outcast in society. He worked for the hated Romans. He's looked down on, but he recognises his need. He recognises the need to be shown mercy. There's no better news that could be announced in the world tonight. There's no better news. People got very excited about when a vaccine was announced for this disease. How much better news the gospel is, dear friends. This is a complete eternal cure for sin. This is a complete forgiveness, a complete washing away of our sinful record through the power of the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. A healing from the effects of sin. A complete salvation through his blood. That, dear friends, is the reason we have the gospel tonight. That is the greatest news that I can give you, that God is willing to offer you mercy if we recognise that we're a sinner and if we call out to God for compassion. How many times throughout Jesus' life his compassion is seen? He reaches out to the lost and needy. He reaches out to the downtrodden in society. You read the Gospels, and the Gospels are full of Jesus' compassion. Compassion is in short supply sometimes in society, isn't it? Perhaps especially even in these times that we're in. The Lord Jesus Christ lived a life of compassion, a life of love. But the greatest act of all was to lay down his life on your behalf and on mine. So that even on this day, in 2020, the Gospel could be preached. We do not know how much longer the gospel will go out. Every week that goes by, the gospel becomes more urgent. Every day, the day draws closer and closer and closer before the door of mercy closes. The preacher so many times has said the gospel is urgent, but it becomes every day more urgent. People are on the way to eternal destruction. If we neglect so great salvation, how shall we escape? That's what Hebrews tells us. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? God wants to offer you, God offers you mercy tonight. And we just simply have to put ourselves in the place of that tax gatherer who received mercy because he went down to his house justified. A simple prayer of repentance and calling out to God for mercy for his sins. Mercy to be spared of the judgment because of what the Lord Jesus has done. He went to Calvary's cross. He died on Calvary's cross. And you don't need to turn to it, but in John chapter 19, verse 30, Jesus said, "When therefore Jesus had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished.' And having bowed his head, he delivered up his spirit." We sang in our hymn that Jesus dying cried, "'Tis done." Everything has been done, dear friends, for you to be given mercy, for you to be forgiven. The Lord Jesus Christ has fully and completely finished that work. Empty man's religion requires you to do your very best works, and there's no guarantee. They cannot do anything. The Lord Jesus Christ has fully finished the work of salvation. It's the salvation of, it's the completed work at Calvary's cross that the believer relies on in faith. The Lord Jesus Christ is available to you tonight, dear friends. I wanted to read lastly in one further passage in the first epistle of Peter, chapter 1. That's page 1468. Page 1468. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from among the dead, to an incorruptible and undefiled and unfading inheritance reserved in the heavens for you, who are kept guarded by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye exult for a little while at present, if needed, put to grief by various trials, that the proving of your faith, much more precious than of gold, which perishes, though it be proved by fire, be found to praise and glory and honour in the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, on whom, though not now looking, but believing, ye exult with joy unspeakable and filled with the glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The Lord Jesus Christ, according God and Father, according to his great mercy, God has shown great mercy. And he's shown it to all those who have put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the gospel is preached so that you might receive that great mercy. That mercy is worth more than anything this world can offer you. That mercy is worth more than gold. Gold is mentioned in verse 7. Gold speaks of the riches of this world. Everything that the world offers and all the wealth that it has. In times of great crisis, people put their money into gold because it's solid and it's very valuable. Gold is not important in this passage. What's much more important is the great mercy and the faith which God gives us. But great mercy is what God is offering us tonight. And he offers us a new life in him and a living hope. Notice in verse 3, he's begotten us again to a living hope. The gospel, dear friends, offers us a living hope. A hope beyond this life. A hope beyond the suffering and anxiety and fear of this life. How wonderful that is. There is no other name. There is no other message that you can hear tonight, dear friends, that gives you a living hope. A living hope beyond this world. Eternal life. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from among the dead. That, dear friends, is the foundation stone of Christianity. The mightiest outpouring of power from God. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, but he was raised for our justification. The Lord Jesus Christ has broken the power of death. That's why we have the gospel preaching tonight. That's why the gospel has been preached for 2,000 years and will be until the church is taken. Satan cannot silence the gospel. He tries everything. The Lord Jesus Christ has risen from among the dead. But he's for his own, for those that trust in him, they have an incorruptible, undefiled, unfading inheritance. An inheritance which nothing in this world can destroy. No one in this world can take from you. What a blessing. What a blessing to come into the to receive that from God. But it's kept guarded by the power of God. Many people have had freedoms taken from them, and many other things taken from them. This world will try to take many things from us. The true blessing of the believer has been kept guarded. The inheritance is kept guarded through the power of God, by the power of God, through faith, but it's ready to be revealed. We spoke earlier today, about the wonderful hope that there is in the rapture, the coming of the Lord Jesus, for everyone who has trusted in him, everyone who has had their sins washed away by his precious shed blood. That's to be revealed. That's shortly to be revealed. So as a result, at the present time, we might be put to grief by various trials. And so believers are today in verse 6. Many believers in many parts of the world are under great pressure. The world tries to put pressure on believers. Some believers suffer very greatly for the name of the Lord Jesus. They are put to grief by various trials, but the proving of our faith, that proves our faith and makes our faith stronger, and our faith is more precious than gold. The world seeks after gold. The world seeks after everything that it can buy with money. The believer has faith in God, which is much more precious than of gold. It be proved by fire, be found to praise and glory and honour. In the revelation of Jesus Christ, that's when Jesus Christ comes for his own. Whom having not seen ye love, on whom thou not now looking but believing, ye exult with joy unspeakable and filled with glory. Believing in the Lord Jesus gives us joy unspeakable. Not a joy that this world gives, a joy that is beyond this life. We have trials, as it says in verse 6, but it's a joy unspeakable. That's the blessing of coming into a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Receiving mercy from God is the first step. But how much more God has for us as we make progress in the Christian life. We all feel the need of that. But we look forward to the time when Jesus will be revealed. When he will be revealed from heaven. He will call his own, first of all. He will call his own to be with him forever. How wonderful that is to be amongst those. And the gospel is preached tonight, dear friends, so that you might be one of those company, that vast company that will be called up at the trumpet sound, 1 Thessalonians 4. The trump of God and the trumpet sound will call, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we the living who remain. Thus we shall be forever with the Lord. May we all be ready. May we all be ready along with that tax gatherer. May we all be ready along with the thief on the cross. We could go on and on and on about those that will be with that company. Mary of Magdala, the thief on the cross, the tax gatherer, how many there are. All of those saints will be caught up together, and the saints of the Old Testament too. They'll be caught up together to hear the trumpet sound. But we need to be ready. We need to have called out to God for mercy. And faith in his blood. Faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance and faith. May we all receive a blessing tonight for his name's sake.